Today's gospel begins with a rather surprising episode. A man is driving out demons in the name of Jesus, but instead of rejoicing and celebrating, John, the beloved disciple, seems to be telling on him and tries to prevent him from carrying out this act of mercy. He runs to Jesus and tries to get him to put an end to this unauthorized work of healing. Now, obviously, our Lord is much more patient and wise than I am, because I think my response to John would be something like, "Wait, so you're telling me that this man is freeing people from demons in my name, and you want me to stop him?" What makes it doubly ironic is that the power of healing comes from God, not from this stranger. So clearly it is the Lord's will that he continue in this ministry of liberation. So John's complaint rings kind of hollow. Now, I can't claim that I haven't been in John's shoes before. I know that there have been definitely times when I've been frustrated not so much with what was being done, but the way that it was being done, that it wasn't proper, or at least I didn't think it was proper. But Jesus is pretty clear to John and to us. Whoever is not against us is for us. John was pretty quick to draw a small circle around the chosen ones who were authorized to speak on behalf of Jesus and do work in his name. This man, who is not one of the 12, was not included in John's circle. It sounds much like the same complaint that we heard in today's first reading, when Joshua complains to Moses that Eldad and Medad are speaking on behalf of God, even though they have not been explicitly empowered to do so. And Moses gives pretty much the same response as Jesus: "Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets." Both Jesus and Moses seem happy to have as much help as possible in carrying out their missions. And both of them have to correct overzealous, beloved disciples who want to restrict that mission only to particular persons. Now, when hearing this story, sometimes there's a temptation to go to an extreme. Well, if Jesus didn't think it was a problem for this stranger to expel demons, then surely anyone can claim his authority and preach and teach and evangelize and go out on mission and say Mass and hear confessions. Well, Jesus doesn't actually give carte blanche to all would-be followers to do whatever they want. When he says, "Whoever is not against us is with us," Jesus draws a pretty wide circle around those who are able to assist in spreading the gospel. But he makes it clear that there's still a requirement to adhere to the truth and in faith. So this random man who was driving out demons may not have understood Christ as fully as did the 12. Maybe he misunderstood Jesus' mission and who he was. But he was still inside the circle because he was cooperating. He wasn't preaching against Jesus or opposing his message. He was contributing to the building up of the kingdom through his works. "Good for him," Jesus says. Even giving a cup of water to a disciple indicates a person's participation in Christ's saving work and being a witness to Christ. But then we get an insight about how important it is to remain inside the circle and not drift away and become one of those who are against the Lord. Jesus employs typical Middle Eastern hyperbole and exaggeration to explain the seriousness of sin. "Your hand causes you to sin? Cut it off. Your eye causes you to sin? Pluck it out. You cause another believer to sin? Better that you drown." The circle that Jesus drew around his followers is important. It was a lot bigger than the one drawn by John, but still not everyone fits in. Some people indeed act against him. And to be against him is so terrible that even the one who leads someone else into sin, leading him outside of that circle, he's worthy of condemnation as well. We have a term for that in the church, scandal. Scandal is a word that's thrown around a lot in our world, but it has a very precise meaning, and it's often misunderstood. Our catechism describes it very well. Scandal is an attitude or behavior which leads another to do evil. The person who gives scandal becomes his neighbor's tempter. Scandal is a grave offense if by deed or omission another is deliberately led into a grave offense. Jesus tells us that it would be even better to lose a body part or to die than to lead someone else into sin. Now, he doesn't want us to die or to mutilate ourselves, but he does want us to recognize the evil of scandalizing others, leading them into sin because of our words or deeds. So now there seems to be a problem. How do we deal with someone who doesn't fit completely into either category? Someone who is both a witness to Christ and a witness against him. What do we do when a person seems to align with our faith on some issues, but on other issues is so far removed from us that he or she almost certainly is leading other people into sin? Well, I think maybe Pope Francis helped us approach an answer this week. Now, if you've only read the media coverage of his visit, you might have been fed a particular narrative. The Pope is liberal, or the Pope is conservative. He's a reformer or a status quo guy. He's here as a free thinker, or he's here as a loyal son of the church. But if you actually heard or read his homilies and speeches, you might see what I'm talking about. It was particularly evident in the Pope's address to Congress, where he was very gracious and affirming to our elected leaders. And then he urged them to take seriously their charge to protect the elderly, the vulnerable, people through all stages of life, immigrants, and most especially the family. The Holy Father reiterated the Catholic commitment to protect our environment, and he upheld business as a noble vocation. In short, Pope Francis seemed to draw a wide circle around all of Congress, treating our elected leaders as those who are not opposed to Christ, and therefore are for Christ, for us. He knows that all of our elected officials do share some gospel values, even if they are not all currently with us. But in reaching out to build those bridges to our representatives, and the word pontiff actually comes from a Latin term meaning bridge builder, he also exhorted them to more fully embrace the wider teaching of the church, especially promoting the dignity of each human person. Now, to us, this might seem a bit strange, this approach. We tend to want the Pope to very clearly separate the good guys from the bad guys. But maybe the Pope was trying to show us that many persons proclaim the gospel in some ways, but cause scandal in others. At times, we are with Jesus, but at other times, we are against him. And yet, he never stops reaching out for us. He wants us to be totally his, to be completely in the circle. If you haven't gotten a chance yet to see or read Pope Francis's various addresses and homilies from the week, I encourage you to do so. Reflect on them. Receive them in faith. And see how your own attitudes and inclinations may compare with his expectations and suggestions. Some of what he has spoken may challenge us. And maybe this would be a great week to spend some time in prayer with our Lord, asking him to help reconcile any differences that we might discover. Perhaps such reflection and prayer will help us become better cooperators with him in spreading the gospel without causing scandal. And this week, also pray for our Holy Father, that the Lord will continue to sustain him and guide him in his ministry as he serves as the chief shepherd for over 2 billion Catholics in the world. May Pope Francis's apostolic visit to these shores provide an opportunity for conversion of hearts, both those who are with us already and those who are against us.